Dyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
Eckert, put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, happy Friday. Welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. It is Friday, July 5th. It is first Friday at the Calgary Stampede, and we're underway this hour on the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property is secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. It's Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson along with you on this hour of Flames Talk. Hello, Wes.
Hey.
Happy first Friday.
Yeah, you as well, buddy.
You don't strike me as like a Stampede. Like, you're not a Stampede junkie. You're not Eric Francis.
No, that would be fair to say. I put in plenty of Stampede shifts, both work and play. But
you've done the chucks before. You've done the rodeo before. Like, as a journalist.
As a journalist, I did a few years where I did the rodeo all 10 days. So I spent my fair share of time on the grounds without question, and now a little more sporadic, let's say.
Yeah,
I'm old. What I'm trying to say, Pat, is I'm old.
I was going to say, as we were getting ready to start this hour, just before we went on, I turned to Wes. He was telling me what his Friday night plans are, and then I was like, you're an adult, hey?
Yeah. And yeah, full-on adult.
And then you translated that.
No fondue, if that's what you're thinking at home, but yeah, adulting in the suburbs.
You are far more of an adult than I am, that is for sure. Okay, as we get this hour going, to kick off the hour, we had scheduled to chat with Jordan Sigalette, the director of goaltending for the Calgary Flames. I'm going to pull a quick little audible, and we're going to just switch up the segments. We'll bring in Jordan a little bit later on.
Okay.
And chat with him. I don't know if that's going to work or not, but just, might as well do this, buy him some time, because the Flames made some news on this Friday. They signed not one, not two, but three prospects to entry-level contracts. We're going to hear from all three of them and hear from the general manager, Craig Conroy. So three players signed to entry-level deals on Friday, two from this year's draft class. They're two first-round picks. Zane Parekh and Matvei Gridin both signed their entry-level deals, both three-year deals, and 2023 second-round pick Etienne Morin signs his entry-level deal, also a three-year contract. And just I think it's one of those exciting days again, Wes, because you're talking about a team that has gone through a couple of frustrating years, and there's been a lot of excitement about what's gone on over the last week or so, going back to last week's first round of the draft into day two, and then you get these players, especially the two first round picks,
yeah,
signed to their entry level deals. It's a pretty exciting thing, I think.
Yeah, and I think there's optimism, and obviously we're just getting to know Zane Parekh and Matvei Gridin. We don't know Etienne Morin that well, but you talk to people around the rink, you talk to people who follow junior hockey, whether that's the USHL in Gridin's case or the Canadian Hockey League in the case of the two others. Like, these are legitimate building blocks. These are guys that people think are going to be really good players for a long, long time. And does today's news alter the course of the franchise? I don't know about that, but are these guys that, when we talked during the mailbag about the window and 3 years from now we expect to be a competitive team, what's the window to contend? How's it look when they move into the new rink? Well, these three are all part of it.
Yep.
And I think that makes days like today exciting for the organization. It makes them exciting for the fan base. Like, these are building blocks. These are guys who are going to be part of it.
Let's start by chatting with Zane Parekh. And by chatting, you chatted with him down at development camp on Friday up at Winsport. And Zane Parekh, ninth overall selection, the leading scorer amongst defensemen in the CHL this year, the OHL Defenseman of the Year. We're talking about
CHL Defenseman of the year as well.
I guess both are accurate. We're talking about, and to me, I said this in the first hour when we did the mailbag, like for me, one of the non-negotiables coming out of the draft for the Flames was, or one of the big things that needed to happen, they needed to find that potential franchise piece. And I think in Parekh, they found that potential franchise piece because we're talking about a guy who profiles like an Erik Karlsson and profiles to be a really high-scoring player. Like these are this is the type of player that you start building an organization around.
Yeah.
Do they have the center iceman yet? No, maybe not. But center ice, defense, goaltender, well, and they checked off the defense side of things. Let's hear from Zane Parekh as Wes caught up with him at Winsport on Friday.
Congratulations. What's it mean to put your signature on that piece of paper?
It means a lot, especially to me and my family, and my two brothers, my mom and dad. And you know, no one's pushed me more than my brothers, and no one works harder than my dad and my mom. So I owe everything to them, and it's just kind of a family accomplishment.
When you actually are scribbling your name on that piece or that stack of paper, what's going through your mind in that moment?
That it's not enough for me, honestly. Like, as special as it is and as privileged as I am, I want more. It's a good place to start, though, obviously. But, you know, I want to win a lot of things in this league and hopefully, you know, go far in a lot of playoff runs. But, you know, I think I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but just trying to enjoy the moment, too. Like, I'm an 18-year-old kid and got to kind of live in the present.
When you say maybe getting ahead of yourself, is that just an indication of how kind of motivating a moment like that can be?
Yeah, exactly. You just want more after it. So, you know, I'm looking to compete for an opening night roster spot. I just want to do as well as I can. I'm a pretty hungry kid. I know what I want. I know what I want to get. And, you know, I'm striving for a lot here.
When, you know, to go through this, you come in as obviously the highest pick. There's a lot of attention. How have you sort of dealt with the spotlight here at your first development camp?
You know, I'm just a normal kid at the end of the day. Like, I'm still 18, obviously, and, you know, all this is really special. It is, and I'm super privileged to be in this situation. And, you know, I'm not taking any of it for granted, but, you know, I'm just trying to go on the ice and work. At the end of the day, like, as much as there's attention, I'm a hockey player, and I got to show what I can do and you know, earn everything.
Did I hear right that the boys have told you to bring your wallet to the Stampede?
Yeah, he did. So we'll be seeing if that's happening. I don't know.
It is Stampede, so we'll see if Zane Parekh gets out on the town and enjoys Stampede City for Stampede 2024. He is high energy. He is a really affable, easy to like guy, easy to like kid,
and smart. So smart.
Well, again, graduated high school early.
Yeah.
Went to the U of T and then another university. I don't remember the other university he told me. Was it Seneca College maybe that he was? Anyway, he's been doing university courses and he was doing that while he was playing in the CHL. Yeah, we're talking about a guy who's as smart as a whip here and plays like it. Like you can see that hockey sense on the ice as well.
I'll tell you kind of a cute anecdote really quick. I've been talking to some people who've worked with Zane throughout the years for a feature that'll be coming in the next little while for Post Media, and I chatted with Dave Drinkel, who is the general manager in Saginaw, and so he was interviewing Zane, and Zane's parents were on the Zoom call as well. This was before the OHL draft, and they really liked him. You know, they were, I guess, planning or hoping to take him, and so Saginaw's in Michigan, and they're going through it with the Parekh saying, okay, well, you know, we always get asked, so we just want to tell you guys about this in advance. You know, here's how it works, transferring from high school in Ontario to coming to Michigan. Here's, you know, how the course is, you know, so don't worry about your high school. That's all going to transfer. And Dave, the GM of the Spirit, was telling me this is like a 5 or 10 minute spiel. Like it takes a while to go through all this, and the family's just sitting there nodding. And he says, finally at the end, Zane goes, well, thanks. That's great to know, but I'm done. And Dave says, what do you mean? Like, you've already finished grade 11? You're only 16? No, I'm done high school. And Dave said to me, in all my years in the OHL,
yeah,
I don't think I'll ever have that again.
Yeah.
But he just quietly sat 5 to 10 minutes, nodding. Okay, thanks, but by the way, I'm finished high school.
We don't have
already.
To worry about this.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty awesome.
And a smart kid, certainly a confident kid, and you even hear it, like, this is a guy who has big dreams. Like, he's talking about winning playoff rounds already. He signed a contract 10 minutes before that. And just one other thing that I thought was pretty neat that I want to point out, his brother Issa was invited to development camp as a tryout.
Before they drafted him,
fellow defenseman. And so he actually was the signing witness on Zane's first contract today. Which is pretty neat.
Usually it
might be the agent or someone else, but Zane had his older brother there to witness and then take pictures to send back home to mom and dad.
Let's hear from Matvei Greden now, who, before we hear from the 28th overall selection from this year's draft, it has been confirmed he is going to go the CHL route. This has been trending this way since he was drafted, but he was committed, being drafted out of the USHL, and Muskegon was committed to go to the University of Michigan, will not be going to the University of Michigan, went first overall in this week's import draft in the CHL to Val d'Or. We'll see if that's the place that he ends up playing in the Canadian Hockey League, but he is going to go the major junior route. And Wes asked him about that and a little bit more. Here's Matvei Greden after signing his entry-level contract.
Congratulations. For starters, how's it feel to put your signature on that paperwork?
Thank you so much. It was my dream since 2 years old, and how I say upstairs, jobs just start right now. Like, all starts right now.
When you were dreaming about it as a kid, what was sort of in your mind at that moment? What did the NHL dream look like for you as a young guy?
I don't know. Like, obviously, dream is to win the Stanley Cup. But, like, sign a contract, that's where it starts from.
When you say it's just the starting point, what's sort of the determination for you in terms of what comes next? How much motivation does this give you to take those next steps?
I don't know, they just build confidence, and I feel trust from Calgary organization, and just going to develop and going to be ready for NHL in a couple of years.
There's been some confusion, maybe not confusion, there's been lots of speculation in the last couple of days about where you'd be playing. You were selected first overall in the CHL import draft. You'd previously committed to Michigan. Does today, having a contract signed, does that give you some clarity about the next step?
Yeah, I go to CHL for sure, and I know, same as you guys, like, I just been picked first overall, and after that, my agent work. So that's it.
What's your first development camp experience been like? It's such a whirlwind to be drafted, and a week later, here you are in Calgary, but how's your first camp been so far?
It was pretty good. First day was obviously hard, fitness testing, but you should do that. And just 2 days on the ice feels great, and just so far it was fun.
What have the conversations been like with family today to know that you've signed an entry level deal?
I knew that yesterday, so all the celebration was yesterday. So just right now, just congrats from my family. Like, thanks for them.
You're about to load up a bus and go play some golf in Kananaskis. What's the scouting report on your golf game?
I played golf 2 times in my entire life. One of them Top Golf. So I actually love it, but I want to start learning, but not a lot of courses in Russia. So, yeah, I love it. Trying to enjoy it.
Always can count on Wes for a good golf question.
Had to ask him about the golf, right?
I think so.
He's golfed once more than Igor Igorov, so
it's not a
start.
in that part of the world, maybe not the same type of popularity it is elsewhere. That's probably fair to say.
I want to hit one thing quick on Matvei Gridin, because he went out of his way to point it out today when talking about the fact that he won't be going to University of Michigan. Addressed the fact, he said, I know it's out there that my grades are the reason that I'm not going the college route, and I just want people to know it's not about my grades. It's where I want to go play hockey.
And he has been adamant. Like, he talked about his dream since 2 years old, and I remember talking to him on the draft floor. Like, this guy wants to be in the NHL, and anything that'll get him to the NHL as soon as possible is what he is interested in.
I don't think he was going to Michigan for 4 years.
No, he was going to just advance whatever possible step he could make to advance his career he was going to take.
Yeah.
He did not have the CHL route until this year, because for the last few years prior in the import draft, Russian and Belarusian players were not eligible. This year they were. And so he feels, and the track record would be as such, he feels like this is the quickest way for him to get to the NHL.
And we can just touch on this quick because it's timely. Jay on the text line asked, hey, how does the CHL import draft work? Does every team get a pick? Yes, Jay, every CHL team does get a pick, although you can only have two imports on your roster. And so there's teams you'll see, you know, if you look at the draft each year, you'll see a bunch of teams passing because they already have their two import spots allotted, right? The Calgary Hitmen selected one player out of the Czech Republic or Czechia. Their second import slot is kind of earmarked for Axel Hurdig, who the Flames selected last year in the draft, and then the Hitmen took in the import draft. So, yes, every team gets a pick, but lots of passes if teams have two lined up already.
And the last thing I'll say on Gridin is that I got a lot of blowback on Twitter when that pick was made on Friday night, which was a little surprising to me. I mean, again, not being a draft expert, not being a prospects expert, I'm the first person to say that, but like, he led the USHL in scoring. We're not talking about for a team that was prioritizing skill and hockey sense. Like, I did not really understand the outrage on social media when they made that pick. So I quite like the pick. And I like the fact that at number 28 overall, they get a really high-scoring guy.
I think because it's so hard for any of us to, you know, actually know a lot about these draft eligibles, right? We don't get time to scout them, and you know, I would hazard a guess that most fans are basing their opinion on the different mock drafts and scouting reports that they've read, similar to what we are. Well, what happens in a case like the Matvei Gridin selection is Sportsnet on their draft coverage, and Sam and Jason did an amazing job getting through all those picks, but they didn't have Gridin as one of what they considered the top available players. And so I think a lot of the, and I don't even want to call it outrage, but I think a lot of the react on social media is, you know, Flames fans maybe feeling like the team went off the board because he wasn't listed as one of the best available. And I don't think when you talk to more people about, you know, where Gridin was going to be slotted and where his top or bottom might have been in the draft, I don't think this was a reach. I just don't think he happened to be on that list.
We are going to bring in Jordan Sigalette here in the second half of the hour, so I wanted to make sure that we play Craig Conroy as well, the general manager of the Calgary Flames. You spoke with him because it kind of transitions nicely into where we're going to go with Jordan Sigalette and goaltending and maybe some NHL roster stuff as well. You talked to Connie about the signings today, Morin, Gridin and Parekh, but also about development camp and about the rest of the offseason. Hey, more Conroy, the better on Flames Talk in a development camp on Friday. Wes Gilbertson lassoed him and cornered him and would not let him get away. Here's Craig Conroy, the GM, with Wes.
Well, you know, I think it just shows that we have faith in all three guys, and we just said, why wait? You know, let's get him done. Let's get him in the fold and just show him how much belief we have in him. So, you know, to be able to kind of go and do that today was a good feeling.
I want to start with Etienne Morin, because with all the blue line additions, we haven't talked a ton about him in this city. What do you see at just a second round pick only a year ago? It's not like he's been around forever, but what do you see in Etienne that makes you want to get his name on a piece of paper?
You know, say a smart, solid puck mover, defends well. He just he reads the game, you know, and that's what I think he's and he can put up some numbers too. I don't think as many numbers as he would have liked this year, but you know, I think as we move forward, you're going to see he's a player that you know, just as a forward, he makes the game easier for you just because he can transition so well and he can get you out of your zone with ease with a good first pass. So, you know, we just felt like he's going to be a big part of this moving forward with our with this young group that we have, kind of the core defenseman.
Have you learned anything about Zane Parekh with the way he's handled the spotlight in the last week?
Well, it's just right from his, you know, I think it's right from when we met him at the draft combine. He was, you know, joking around, easy to talk to, kind of, you know, we'd ask him questions about him talking trash on the ice a little bit, and he just, you know, not that he didn't even swear, he just kind of chirped the guys, and what he said to him reminds me a little bit of what Matthew Tkachuk does. So I did appreciate you know, the interview, but then you watch him on the ice and just you know, he's got a real confidence in him and a real belief that he's going to be a player, a real good player.
There's been lots of speculation about Matvei Gridin this week, just in the sense he's the first overall pick in the CHL import draft. He had committed to college, can't go NCAA anymore with his name on a contract. What do you envision in his immediate future?
You know, I see. The one thing about to Matvei, we talked, you know, after, especially with Dan Milstein, his agent, we just, you know, what was the plan? What is the plan? And in the end, they felt like they wanted, Matvei wanted to play more games, wanted to go the CHL route, and felt like that was the best situation. And he wanted to become a pro sooner than later. So, you know, I think, you know, when a player wants to do that and he wants, you know, that's his decision. Like, we're not going to push either way, but we were very happy about it, you know. And then, you know, we weren't sure where he was going to get picked in the draft. And obviously, I think they made a good pick at number one. It just kind of reinforces that it was a good pick for us because, you know, I think he's going to have a huge year in the queue this year.
What are your general impressions? We're 2 days into development camp, the on-ice portion, that is. What are your impressions about just the overall talent level you see out here on the ice at Winsport?
Well, you know what? It's one of those things where the thing I really look for is the work ethic. You know, do they listen to the coaches? Are they supposed to stop? Are they stopping this blue line? Stop in front of the net? It's all those little things you're really paying attention to, because I don't want to – some kids have skated. Some kids haven't skated. So you don't want to – it's the summer. I was not a very good, I told in an interview, I was bad in the summer. So it took me a while to get going, but it's amazing how sharp they look. And you really feel for the goalies a little bit because they get thrown right into the fire out here.
At the end of the scrimmage tomorrow, and fans are certainly welcome to attend here at Winsport. At the end of it, you're going to present the Snowy Cup. I'm just wondering about the significance of that, knowing that we lost Chris in the fall.
Yeah, that's, you know, yeah, that's a tough thing for us. I mean, obviously, great friend, losing Chris. It's been a long year. You know, I think I had a lot of work to do. I wish Chris was here the whole time. First draft without Chris. I know he's watching, cheering us on, but it's a tough one.
Just one last one for you, and thank you so much for your time. I'm curious, we go through Canada Day and the signings, you know, come fast and furious. How would you sort of describe the market now and sort of what you might be keeping tabs on?
Yeah, you know, you're trying to, I think the first day you saw, it was busy. I've never seen anything quite like it. So, you know, I think, you know, for us now, it's maybe be a little patient, see what's out there. There's going to be some teams I know right now that are not really in cap trouble, but there might be in cap trouble. So you just want to be patient and see what shakes loose. You want to have flexibility instead of just signing. You want to leave some space and see if something makes sense. So, you know, we would only do it if it made sense for us moving forward to help the club. So it's patience is, you know, it's not always an easy thing when you get July 1st. And it was amazing to see everybody come off the board the way they did. So,
right.
You know, now we're just going to see how it goes. Keep in touch with everybody. You know, it seems like it'll slow down a little bit, and then, you know, we'll be up at Hlinka and you'll see a lot of the GMs again. But, you know, you just stay in touch with everybody and see if there's something that makes sense for us moving forward that, you know, and who knows, whatever. It's hard because right now I don't know what's going to be out there. But, you know, you're just keeping in contact with the teams.
There you go. That is the general manager, Craig Conroy, with Wes, Radio Wes, as we like to call him. Wes doing some radio work. Look at you.
Ooh. Sorry you had to listen to that, folks. I mean, I'm glad you got to listen to the Craig Conroy and the Matt Vigridden and the Zane Parekh part, but thanks for sticking with us through the rest
Wes,
of it.
Wes even like doing like, yeah, people are welcome to come. Like,
oh, yeah.
The radio pro. Man, who needs me anymore?
Yeah, man of the radio people.
Flames Talk with Wes sounds a whole lot better than Flames Talk with me. great stuff, and a little bit of a preview into what's coming up this summer and what still might be on the docket for the Flames. Development camp wraps up Saturday. 10:30 is the scrimmage for the Snowy Cup, as you asked Craig about, in honor of the late Chris Snow. So that is coming up on Saturday morning, 10:30 at Winsport, open to the public to wrap up the on-ice portion of Development Camp 2024. Pat and Wes along with you as we continue along, and we've got the boys back in the Groundworks downtown studio as well. Cam and Zach holding down the fort. Groundworks is your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, as we've talked about for the last few days, it's been a very busy week for the Calgary Flames. If you go back to Friday when the Flames hit the first round of the NHL draft, made their two selections, then they made eight more selections on day two of the NHL draft, rolled right into free agency, mix in a little bit of a travel snafu that made travel home for everybody difficult. All of that combined, yeah, it's been a really, really busy stretch for the Calgary Flames, and involved in that has been the continued evolution of their goaltending situation. It's Pat and Wes as we continue along this hour on Flames Talk, and our next guest is a lucky man. Jordan Sigalette got to talk with me last week in Vegas, and then I know he's talked to Wes a couple of times. Now he gets to talk to both of us at the same time. Happy Friday. Jordan Sigalette, the director of goaltending, joins us right now. I know this is a very big moment for you, and you're extremely jacked up for this.
Jackpot Jordan today.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm just happy to be talking to you two again. So good day.
Thought so. Hey, it's been a busy it's been a busy stretch, but your department, you and Jason LaBarbera, Mackenzie Skapski, I know you guys put a lot of work into all of this going into the draft, going into free agency, and in both cases you got your guys this year. Just how does it feel? How are you feeling about the work that you've put in and what you've been able to accomplish over the last week and a bit?
Yeah, it's been an exciting week for us. You never know how it's going to go in free agency or the draft. And we had a couple guys targeted and ended up getting the guy we wanted when we were in Vegas. And we're excited about him. And then on top of that, adding Devin Cooley, who we think is another, you know, somewhat younger goalie that's hungry and still has some upside to prove that he's an NHL goalie. So to get the two, you know, sometimes you miss out on both of them or just get one of them. But it was nice to come home with that haul.
So let's start with Cooley. How come he was your targeted guy? How come your group zeroed in on Devin Cooley as the goalie you wanted to bring in free agency?
Yeah, he's a guy I've watched since he played at the University of Denver, and then his time in Nashville system, and obviously Buffalo, where he was kind of stuck with a whole boatload of goalies there, so he didn't even get to play that much. But I just see him as a guy with good size and his ability to move. For how big he is, it's really impressive, and I still think he's really raw. And I talked to Thomas Spear, who used to be our development goalie coach, and he had nothing but great things to say about him as a kid and as a goalie, and you know how coachable he is and how eager he is to learn and get better. So I just felt it was a good fit to have like a 27-year-old guy come in and someone that's going to push Dustin Wolf and someone that's going to push Dan Vladar. And I think at the end of the day, they all get better because of it. So there's obviously lots of options out there for that kind of role. But I just felt that the hunger is going to be there with him, and getting a taste of six games last year at San Jose, he's going to be, you know, itching for it. So.
You used that U word, upside, and that's the word that has been used a lot when you hear from a lot of people talking about Devin Cooley. What is the upside, and I guess what are the reasons why you feel it's so high?
I think it's just he's always been a guy that's kind of been buried where he's been. In Nashville, he was stuck behind Askarov, who was a first-round pick, and then he gets to Buffalo, and they have Devin Levi, who's highly touted. They have Dustin Tokarski, Michael Hauser, Eric Comrie, and Uka Pekalukin. And so he's never really got to prove himself. And I think, you know, he saw a lot of opportunity here. He had a ton of interest from different teams. But, you know, with where we're at right now with our team, you know, I think that he sees it as a great fit for himself, too, and as well as getting a two-year deal. So I think McKenzie will be great for him, you know, just to, you know, keep building on his game. And it wouldn't surprise me if this kid's a full-time NHL goalie in the near future.
What are the attributes that you really like? You talk about his speed and size. That's kind of the thing that you hear a lot. Can you kind of go a little deeper into the attributes you really like when looking at Devin's game?
Yeah, well, I think the hockey IQ is obviously a huge thing, and I think he reads the game and the shot really well. And in today's game, with how fast it is, you have to be able to move, you have to be able to skate to keep up with the pace of today's NHL, and I think he's really good at that. And I think for him, he's almost reminds me of Dan Vladar when we brought him in, where, you know, he's got the size, he's got the mobility. It's just adding a little bit more structure to his game, like Jason did with Dan.
So now that you've got you take a look at Cooley, you take a look at Vladar, you take a look at Wolf, combined, I think it's less than 90 NHL games experience. So, you know, and the team knows it's a somewhat inexperienced group from an NHL standpoint going into this season. But what can the benefits of that be, Jordan? What are some of the things that could really help as you're trying to develop this position?
I think it's just you're going to get to see all these guys play a lot of games at the highest level, and you're really going to get to find out what you have in each guy, and they're going to get the experience that they don't have. So we're excited to, you know, see what they can do and do it on a more, you know, consistent basis rather than, you know, Vladdy's used to playing once every 2 weeks and Wolfie going up and down. But, you know, he's got to come in hungry too and prove himself and earn the trust of the coaches. And, you know, I think it's going to be a good battle come training camp.
Yeah, and the there's to that point, there's never anything wrong with a little competition, and all these guys, it feels like all three of these guys are absolutely ready to go into training camp or even throughout the season with that type of competitive mindset. Hey,
yeah, and you're always going to have growing pains with inexperienced guys and younger guys, but it's a learning process for them. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're all going to get better. They're all going to push each other, and they're going to get great coaching from Jason LaBarbera and Mackenzie Skapski. So, you know, it's going to be exciting to watch.
Let me ask you about the you talk about the free agency targets, and you got your guy in Devin Cooley, and you also got one of your guys in the draft. And second straight year, you draft a goaltender, and you get Kirill Zarubin in this year's draft, and you bring him into the organization. He's the one guy that did not come over to development camp. But tell us a little bit about Zarubin and why he was one of your targets at the draft.
He's a guy I started watching last season, and he's a late 2005 birthday, so he wasn't eligible until this year. But just seeing the progression in his game from last year to this year, he played on a really poor team that actually has two teams in that league in the MHL. And, you know, one of them is like a junior B team, and the other one's, you know, a not very strong junior A team. So he got to play a ton, and he was the difference maker. You know, every game he played, he had a .944 save percentage on a bad team, and he had an older goalie on his team that he kind of took over the starting role from and right into playoffs. And he's a big 6'4" goalie. He's 210 pounds, and he's just powerful. He's smart. He's athletic, and he's another guy that, you know, flew under the radar of Central Scouting, and, you know, a lot of teams couldn't believe he did. But as it led up to the draft, you started to hear his name more and more, and I had him really high on my list. And once McKenzie's season ended and Jason's season ended, I had them dive into him too, and, you know, they agreed with what I saw, so it kind of confirmed, you know, where we were at. And so then it just becomes stressful at the draft because you have him slotted in a certain spot, and you're hoping he doesn't go before you pick. So we were pretty excited to get him, and interviewed the kid a couple times before we drafted him, and just a little bit of English, but just the answers he had and the way he carried himself, and then the excitement he had after we drafted him, you know, to eventually be in the city of Calgary was really awesome to see.
How's your Russian coming?
You know what? I think I'm going to have to get the Rosetta Stone Russian to get a little more fluent in it.
Do you, how much are you blowing up Todd Button's phone as you're moving through the draft and you're like, okay, we need to get, like, is it a lot of texts? Are we doing it every 5 minutes? How does that work itself out?
Yeah, it was just strategic planning by me. I think I harassed him at 62 and 74, and then he finally broke at 84. So you kind of look at the teams that are picking before you, how many picks they have, what their goalie depth's like, and, you know, you're trying to figure out where these guys are going to go, and you're usually pretty accurate with the first few, but once you get to that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth goalie, you know, it's kind of up in the air. So we've always kind of said, if you have a guy you really, really want, sometimes you might have to take him around early. And with the amount of picks we had this year, I think, you know, we got him at the right spot.
We're chatting with Jordan Sigalet. He is the director of goaltending for the Calgary Flames, joining us here on this Friday edition of Flames Talk. Wes?
Jordan, are there any reports out of Kananaskis on how Yegor Yegorov's first ever round of golf is going today?
No, but I can tell you if he's playing like he did the other day, they're going to be playing on Sunday still. He will still be up there.
I know.
It was priceless, and like, what a great experience, and he had such a great attitude about it. And I think the best part of the whole thing is we go down there, McKenzie steps up for his first shot, and he was wearing flip-flops, so he didn't want to take his shot in flip-flops, so he took them off, and then Yegor was up next, and he got up and took his shoes off to go take his shot because he thought that was what you're supposed to do when you golf.
I can't get enough of this story. So Jordan, as he was saying, took Yegor Yegorov and Mackenzie Skapski along with them, the Wranglers goalie coach, to launch pad. But this is all part of Yegor's first trip to North America. I had a great chat with him yesterday. He might speak better English than I do. He is just bouncing off the walls to be in Calgary. Flames fans are going to see him tomorrow in the scrimmage at Winsport. Tell us a little bit about your sixth round pick from last year and, you know, what you see in him as a goalie and what it's been like to have him here this week.
Well, it's been awesome to have him. It's obviously being over there playing in Russia. They start their camps early. His team started July 1st, and we're thankful enough that they let him miss a few days of camp, and he'll go back home Sunday to jump right into his own camp at home. But he's a guy, again, like Zarubin, we only watched on video, and the year we drafted him, he'd only played, I think it was 10 games. So you're taking a little bit of a swing and what you see in those 10 games and that small sample size, but you could see everything about him. Like, you know, he almost had a Bobrovsky look to him with the way he moved and track pucks and his vision on the ice. And then to get him over here and just see it in person, it all matches what we saw on video. And then to have that personality to go along with it, like, he's going to be a guy that's, you know, loved by fans and teammates for a long time. He's quite the character, but he's super smart. He's always asking questions, always trying to get better, and just a real good kid. He's one you want to root for.
As I learned in my conversation with him yesterday, the glimpses of Bobrovsky aren't by coincidence. It sounds like he's been studying his game for a long time.
Yeah, he's been a big fan of him since he was young, and Igor's dad was a goaltender, grandpa was a goaltender, so it's, you know, it's been in the family for a long time too. He's kind of lived through it, and you know, so we're excited about him, and, you know, he'll go back for another year for sure, probably a couple, and, you know, when we think it's the right time to bring him over and the right fit for us and him, then we'll push to get him over here.
Does a goalie coach offer any advice to Dustin Wolf before he rides in the Stampede Parade, or do you just stay out of that one?
Yeah, we stay out of that one, and I think I was a little bit more worried about Soyuz getting on there, and there was a rumor going around that he had his jeans tucked into his cowboy boots, so.
That's always the best. That's a good look.
That's funny. I know a lot of people noticed, obviously, Dustin in the parade today. I know he's been kicking around Calgary. What's his off season look like?
Yeah, he's spending most of his time here, and he's been training, you know, with our people in town, and still not getting on the ice yet, but that'll be something he'll do here soon. He's going to head to California for a month where he trains with a goalie guy he has there, and he does a lot of training with Eric Comrie, who just signed in Winnipeg. They've been close for a long time, so he'll start ramping it up here soon. And as he knows, we had dinner with him the other night, and it's a big summer for him, and he's got a lot to prove when he comes into training camp this year.
And on the topic of guys we're expecting to see at the top level next year, how is Dan Vladar doing in his recovery from surgery? And maybe just as part of that, what are the biggest challenges for a goaltender working his way back from a hip injury?
I guess the good thing is that it's in the off season and he's going to start getting back on the ice. He's feeling really good. I talked to him about 10 days ago, and he was aiming to hit the ice, the middle of July. So that'll be coming up here soon, and just slowly get into it by just doing movement on his feet before he starts, getting into any, dropping onto his knees and post play and, things that'll affect his hip. But he's hungry. He's excited. He sees the opportunity that lies in front of him. So it's, I think he's just excited to be healthy again and feeling 100% and, to step back on that ice and then get back here for training camp and, not have, any pain when he's playing.
Maybe we can expand on that part you mentioned a little more in the excitement. Obviously, the Jacob Markstrom trade opens up an opportunity for Dan that he maybe hasn't had up to this point in his NHL career in terms of looking at maybe an opportunity to be that number one guy. What did you hear on the other end of that phone call from Dan as he gets ready to try and take advantage of that?
He just can't put too much pressure on himself. He's got to come in, be himself, play his game. Like I said, there's going to be some growing pains, but, now when in the past when he played a game and had a bad game, he wouldn't get to see the net for a couple of weeks again because Jacob would be playing so much. And now he's got that opportunity. If there is a struggle, he'll get that chance to bounce back and, redeem himself, which is huge for both of those guys. They're going to battle for that net, and Cooley's going to come in and make a push as well. So, I think it's a good situation to be in, and it's going to be a learning process for both, but I think the mental side of it for all of them is going to be the biggest challenge.
What more is, obviously development camp wraps up on the ice on Saturday with the scrimmage. What more does the goaltending department have on their plate for the rest of the summer, Siggy?
This is finally going to wind down here for a little bit, but excited to watch the scrimmage tomorrow with some of the kids we brought in. Callum Tung from Alberni Valley has been really impressive. He's going to UConn next year. And so it's just going to be, keeping in touch with all these guys, building relationships, and then just keeping tabs on all our guys throughout the summer before coming back in August for Hlinka in Edmonton, and then a little bit of downtime until training camp starts.
Nice. So you do get a little bit of downtime now for the next little bit. That's good. You deserve it. And appreciate the time. It's always fascinating to see how this goaltending department goes about their business, but especially now with it being as wide open as it's been in a long time. Really appreciate the insight, Siggy. We'll talk soon, man. Thanks for doing this, hey?
Thanks for having me.
Jordan Sigalette, he is the director of goaltending of the Calgary Flames, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline on this Friday. Celebrate the summer soccer spectacle from around the world and cheer on your favorite country on the big screens at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. As we start to wrap up this hour on Flames Talk, Wes Gilbertson on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. My name is Pat Steinberg, and that'll wrap us up on a Friday edition of the Sports Drive brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. When it comes to your business, knowing your property is secure is better than wondering who's getting in. Get peace of mind at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.